Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Wednesday, July 15th. I'm Ray Graff, the coin and stamp experts, back for another hour of fun. All you collectors out there, get ready to call in. Bob Scott and David Tripp join us. If you're enthusiastic about the coins and or the stamps, you'll want to call right now. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Sure, we can talk about French scratch and sniff stamps. Why not? What could go wrong? The U.S. Mint has a little surprise for everybody. We'll talk about that as well. Coins and stamps, always a fun show. You can email voxpop@wamc.org, or you can, give us a call, 800-348-2551. Bob Scott and David Tripp are here to answer your questions. We'll be back after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Stamps and coins today, we welcome back David Tripp, former director of Sotheby's Coin Tapestry at Musical Instrument Departments. He's author of Illegal Tender, Gold Greed, and the Mystery of the Lost 1933 Double Eagle, as well as a fine art consultant. Bob Scott was a curator, and he was a cartoonist, too. I should add that. Bob Scott was a curator to a private collection, senior technical specialist at Christie's, head of the stamp departments at both Sotheby's and Bonhams. He's currently a private consultant whose clients include Sotheby's, for whom he cataloged the world's most valuable stamp. It's a one-page catalog because it's only one stamp. No, it's not. It's quite a beautiful thing. The number to call is 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. David Tripp, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm very well. I'm shocked that you almost left cartooning off.
Could you see through the patchy smoke on the way in?
Barely.
Yeah. Bob Scott, how are you doing?
Exceedingly well, thank you.
So your football team is in the semis, yeah?
It's in the semis, and it's kicking off in 50 minutes.
Oh, 50 minutes.
5-0.
All right.
5-0.
You don't want to watch the pregame?
No.
I'd rather watch you.
Okay. Well, boy, are you going to be disappointed. All right. Fair enough. Well, that's great. So do you think England can win?
Oh, I think they can win, but at this point, anybody can win.
It's what, against Spain?
It is against Argentina.
Argentina.
So it's the Maldives versus the Falklands.
And Spain beat the French team,
I think,
right?
It's Malvinas. Not Maldives.
Oh, not the Maldives. I stand corrected, or sit there.
All right. Well, if you want to talk amongst yourself, I'll do the show here. 800-348-2551. It's stamps today. It's coins. What fresh hell is this, Bob Scott? A French scratch and sniff stamp. This is something the world didn't need. Explain.
Well, it's almost something the world didn't need. And actually, it's a little bit, it's been around for a couple of years.
They've done the scratch and sniff.
They started a couple of years ago. They created a baguette stamp.
What?
And the baguette stamp, when you scratch it, actually smells of a bakery. And it actually does. I hate to say it. I was in France.
You hate to say that you were in France?
Well, he's English. Of course he was.
To be honest, it's a lovely country to visit, and the weather was actually rather nice, and their football team back then were actually playing really well. But I had occasion to see a baguette stamp, and it did actually smell of a bakery.
So let me ask you a question. Was it in a post office or a store, or where did you take a whiff of the stamp?
It was actually on a piece of mail that had been delivered to the house I was staying at.
Okay. And so did you have to scratch it, or was it just pre-scratched?
Oh, of course you've got to scratch it. Okay. I mean, I'm sorry, but where's
but
the,
how long does
where's
the
fun?
How yeah. long does the odor last?
Right. Scent, not odor. Would it be a pejorative, right?
You're right.
Yeah. How long does it stink?
It stinks for. I mean, one hates to say that. Do you scratch it, then smell your finger afterwards?
Ah, okay. Ah. Well, let's go to David Tripp. 800-348-2551. David Tripp, the Mint has a surprise, and this is cool. Explain.
This is very cool. I only found out about this a few days ago. The Mint has issued a special, what they call a privy marked coin. So this has a little mark on it that the others don't. They've made about 150 million new quarters to celebrate the semi-quincentennial, our 250th 250th birthday. Right. However, they issued on July 4th, or just about then, 250,000 only out of the 150 million that actually have the little date July 4.
Amazing.
In front of the portrait of Thomas Jefferson. Uh-huh. And what they have done is that they are putting this out into circulation randomly. So the bags have about 4,000. They go out to the Federal Reserve. They roll them all up.
Yeah.
And then they get shipped off to banks all over the country. So it actually is encouraging people to look through their coins. The coins are actually pretty cool. There's the Liberty Bell on one side. And I've actually seen a few turn up on eBay already.
Really? Now, we don't know where they're going to be.
No, and that's the whole, that's what makes it fun.
These were released a few days ago?
Yeah, just around July 4th, basically.
Okay, so today is the 15th, so 10 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Have they been snapped up by all the collectors yet?
No, that's the point. They've been pushed into general circulation.
Right.
So they're not like, it's not something you can call up the mint and buy.
Right.
These are going out at random with all the ones that don't have the little July 4 number on them.
Right.
So you actually have to look at the coin. So they've They've turned up in Texas. They've turned up in the Carolinas. I've seen them on eBay for up to $600 already.
Already. Amazing.
They'll probably settle back to, let's say, $50 to $100, depending on condition, as we always speak.
That would be amazing.
But that's amazing. But it is something that you really genuinely have a chance of finding in your change.
Now, let me ask you a question about
which, if you use your credit card, you will not have the opportunity.
Exactly. So use cash for a couple few days until these are all gone. But they release them ostensibly randomly.
Right.
Somebody's got to know, right?
Well, what they do, the way they do it is the way the coins are made. They're sewn into bags of 4,000. Okay, so they all go into the shipping trucks, the armored cars, with the ones that don't have the special
right.
July 4th on it. They then are again sent off to the Federal Reserve, which is in charge of shipping everything out. Okay, when they get there, they go through hoppers and they get rolled. They automatically put into rolls. They put into boxes, and the boxes are sent. So you're going to have a mix. Now, you know, if you're in charge of the rolling. Then you might. I am sure there are some enterprising workers. We have seen this before with the United States Mint. Always an enterprising employee who is making a little money on the side.
The law, though, yeah?
In theory, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Whether it gets prosecuted is another story.
Well, now I know what I'll do for the rest of the summer. I'll be looking at quarters.
That's the whole idea.
Exciting.
And it's going to get people looking at their and want change because, you know, candidly, Bob and I were discussing it. Nobody uses stamps anymore, and fewer and fewer people are using coins. And the U.S. Mint for many, 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 many years was the only money-making portion of the federal government because they make a coin that costs 10 cents to produce, but it's got a $25 face value. The government actually on paper books the 15 cents per coin.
Neat. And now that the pennies are out of production,
right,
their bottom line will improve.
And when they get nickels out, but the problem is they can't make enough to make enough money anymore. And so they are actually becoming more and more, shall we say, the old Franklin Mint. They're becoming a collectibles industry as opposed to circulating currency. It's only going to get worse as we go along.
Here's an idea.
Yes, sir.
Run this by you guys. Scratch and sniff coins.
I like it.
What do you think?
I like it.
I'm just wondering whether it's ever been done.
We'll check with John Waters.
Why don't we bring back in case postage?
That's it.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. In case postage, which would have a stamp in it, and then you scratch the stamp that we got it.
Okay. The number here is 800-348-2551. They've lost me now. I think I know something about the encased postage, right?
They were Civil War era because we were running out of currency, so they put stamps in little pieces of brass that was stamped.
Oh, that,
they were also used for advertising with a little piece of mica on it, and it kept passed as change.
You know, you guys are very competitive. Who likes stamps more? Who likes coins more? This is a spot you can agree
right? This is actually our happy ground. And the funny thing is, if in case postage isn't necessarily doing well in the stamp era because it's listed in the stamp catalogs,
yeah,
you can swap it over to the coin area, and they have... The market can suddenly be good on that side of the wall. So it actually works terribly well.
I think they may have encased coins in the
The Red Book?
I'm looking, but I do not see it. How strange.
It's Stamps and Coins today with David Tripp and Bob Scott. I'm still sort of thrown by the scratch and sniff stamps.
But what is going to be the next? Well, the next one after you've gone.
What was the next
Bridget
one?
Bardot? I don't know.
Yes.
Well,
exactly.
We were thinking of Disque Bleu and Gauloise cigarettes. Very French.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
It could be, or Camembert. We've got all those lovely cheeses.
That would smell horrible.
Yeah. Roquefort.
We'd probably
would be
end
terrible,
up with
man.
Exactly. Little Paul Levesque. Wow. It'd be rather beautiful.
So, did I see that U.S. stamps are going to go up again?
Yeah.
Come on. Really? Yeah. How much are they going to cost now?
We're going up to 82, isn't it?
82.
And it was out last weekend, so we can't buy them in advance.
How pathetic. No. I remember when they were 8 cents.
But I remember them where they were 3 cents.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, you
are.
I think,
thank
yes.
you.
But you've got to remember, when did anybody last put their hand in their pocket, pull out some change, and then buy a stamp? You don't. You go in and you use your credit card and you buy a forever stamp.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if you bought your forever stamps 2 weeks ago, then the postage rate was still 75.
Aha.
And if you bought the original ones way back when, you were paying less than 50 cents.
So the trick is to buy lots and lots at whatever the prevailing price is, and you never have to use them
again. The standard joke was postage was you bought the stamp. You weren't actually buying the right to mail a letter, which you do now with a forever stamp. What you were doing was you were making an interest-free loan to the post office up until you redeemed it against the charge.
That's an interesting way to think about this. It is Stamps and Coins today with David Tripp and Bob Scott. Archaeologists found a change purse from around the year 400.
Oh, this one's good.
Absolutely fascinating. This was actually found a number of years ago in Belgium, and the archaeologists were digging along, and they found some bones.
Yeah.
And
where was this?
In Belgium.
Belgium.
And inside, right at his hip, they found this little clutch of coins.
Yeah.
And nobody really thought about it because with ancient burials, you frequently have a coin buried with them. Frequently, in Greece, they would put a penny in the mouth to pay the ferryman.
Uh-huh.
But this was a little clump that was put together. And recently, they started going through it and figuring out it was actually a change purse that he had around his waist.
Amazing.
That was part of it. And then they looked at the coins themselves. And this guy, they know from the latest coin and then other finds in the grave that he probably was buried around the year 440 AD.
Mm-hmm.
But he had coins going back to the year 100.
Oh, that's cool.
So he had coins in his pocket that were still circulating, and he was still using as money 250 years earlier. So it's kind of like, you know, if we found a coin with George III on it, or we found an American penny from 1793, which is the first year we made them, and you looked in your pocket as opposed to finding the modern privy marked quarter, you found a real coin from 250 years ago.
Cool.
And I said to Ray, I said, hey, would you go out and buy me a quart of milk? And I gave you a 1793 penny. To me, it just shows it was the value of the metal that held throughout the period.
Amazing.
I just think it's kind of cool.
Well, it's actually just like an English childhood. It was like my childhood, because you would have William IV, George III, penny, because we had pennies, shillings that dated way, way, way back.
And finding bun pennies with Victoria.
Oh, yes.
I remember that, yeah.
Remind me later, if we get a quiet moment here on the show, I want to bring that topic up again, because it pertains to the search for treasure at Oak Island.
Ah.
And I'll explain what it means, but let's take a break. 800-348-2551. David Tripp and Bob Scott are our guests today. We'll be back. Guess what? We're going to the Saratoga Automobile Museum on July 28th for a live Vox Pop. Well, it's a live recording of a Vox Pop. Isn't that something?
That is cool.
Aren't you excited? Gordon Fricke will be there. I'll be there. Others will be there. We'll be answering car questions among the beautiful automobiles at the Saratoga Automobile Museum. If you want to be a part of it, all you got to do is go to wamc.org/on the road and find out. We'd love to see you there. You'll hear A couple promos a day. We'll talk about that. Matt writes in, I have two gold coins contained in a styrofoam thing that says American Arts Gold Medallion. Below the coins, it says 1 troy ounce of gold plus 1/9 troy ounce of copper each. The front is an image of Grant Wood, and the back says American Arts Commemorative Series 1980. Could this be worth anything substantial? Well, there's a lot of gold in there, so
well,
it's
there is a lot of gold. So, but generally, those modern issues are worth pretty much gold, particularly as the price of gold has jumped up so much. So it's about $4,000 an ounce currently, and of course, it's been higher. As the price of gold has gone up so high,
I just meant just pull it a little further away from your.
Dead air. I beg your pardon. I will continue talking.
No, you go ahead. No, I was asking while you were talking. I was asking Bob to move his mic.
I have short attention span.
No, continue. I'm sorry.
But anyway, with the modern coins and with coins and metals particularly, as the price of gold has gone up so high and so quickly, same thing with silver. The premium level, the difference between the collectible value and the bullion value, has shrunk commensurately. Mm. And so coins, for example, a $20 gold piece, when I started in the business, you know, gold was $175 an ounce, but you sold a $20 gold piece for a couple hundred. So there was, you know, your 15, 20% difference in value and sometimes higher. Now, $20 gold pieces in circulated condition are basically worth scrap weight.
Oh, that's amazing.
And so similarly, the coins that the gentleman has emailed you about, the metals, their value is going to be predicated strictly on the scrap value currently. And
Go ahead.
No, it's basically the way it's just the way the markets have changed.
Yeah. So this is 1 troy ounce of gold.
Right.
So that's a what?
That's $4,000.
Beautiful. But is the 1/9 troy ounce of copper, does that take away from the value?
No, it says it's 1 troy ounce of gold.
Right.
So by definition, that is the actual gold weight.
And metallurgists can sort that out?
They can. They can. Bob and I were talking earlier today. The most of the coins in Fort Knox are from melted down coins during the Great Recall in the 1930s. That's actually why Fort Knox was built, to house all these melted down
coins. Yes, thank you, FDR. That
right.
was nice.
But they're all in bars of 900, so they're only 90% gold, because that's the way coins are made.
Oh, interesting.
So they're 90% gold, and then there's the copper in there, so it's the same thing. In the international gold markets, gold actually has to be refined to 999 purity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if the United States government ever wanted to sell the coins in Fort Knox, currently they couldn't. They would have to send them back and refine them down and make them pure, take the copper out.
And if they were 999 fine, they'd basically, you'd be able to bend them, essentially. Would they
no,
be too soft?
No, because they weigh 400 ounces each. And it's really tough to bend 400 ounces
no,
of gold.
I'm talking about the coins. The coins, if they were 99.9...
No, they would be not at that thickness. They're still, you couldn't bend them. You could bite them, but you couldn't bend them. But they would wear too quickly.
Huh.
And so it's
which
a matter
is because they were too soft.
Too soft,
yes.
Exactly.
It's David Tripp and Bob Scott. Today, Stamps and Coins, 800-348-2551. Several emails to go through here, but Terry in Guilford, Connecticut's been waiting a while. So let's go to the phones. Terry, go ahead.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
In regard to privy marks, you remember the 2020, there's 5 different quarters that each one has a mintage 2 million, which is very low. And it has a privy mark that says V75, which is like 75 years after the World War II victory, which would make it 2020. And it has the W, which is interest of New York.
Because that's
West Point.
That's
New York,
where they make them. That's where the mint is. Yep. Yep. No, they're fast.
Yeah, and I have like a – well, I think the biggest point there is the 2020 privy mark quarters at West Point and the new 2026 commemorative with
the July 4th
privy mark July 4th, which they only minted, they say 250,000, which would make it And they actually put them straight into circulation, which makes it, which it is just like the W quarters in 2019, which don't have a privy mark, but they had five different W quarters in 2019 that they stuck into circulation also, with 2 million minted each.
But those were struck to the and, to the tune of 2 million, as opposed to only 250,000, which is going to make the July 4th, and because it is the 250th anniversary, it's going to have it's. But the way they've issued them as well makes them much more exciting.
It's exciting. Yeah.
It is exciting.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Terry, thanks for the call. It's 800-348-2551. If you want to talk stamps and coins with Bob Scott, the email, and David Tripp, the email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Lisa writes in, my grandmother was an avid stamp collector and got me and my brother started when we were kids. I have a binder-sized stamp book of stamps I've collected and first-day covers with, at this point, I want to just sell them. Where's the best place to do it? And that's from Lisa.
It's probably when is the best place, or when is the best time to sell them? Well, a bit like the base metals, you know, paper has gone up in value, but of course has made no difference whatsoever to the value of
the
stamps.
You mean the paper itself, or the paper currency has gone up in value?
The paper itself has actually gone up enormously in value, but it's made no difference to the stamp market. This was just an
aside.
Well,
that's because production costs are higher, yeah.
The truth is, if your grandmother is still very much with it, so say she was born in the 1950s, you probably are better just putting it away for a very long time because you'll spend more of your own personal time trying to sell it. You could put it on eBay. There are ways of doing it. But the value is, we're talking about multiple units, mass production, and a diminishing number of collectors. Mm. So you've got to do two things. Throw them away because it'll make the remaining items that are spread around the country somewhat more valuable, or you've got to put them away for another generation and just hope it comes back.
Or perhaps, yeah. I mean, the next generation might find some interest, as we've said many times in the past on the show. By looking at stamps, by looking at coins, you learn about history.
Right.
You learn about botany, whatever's on the stamp. And they're fascinating. And for, you know, my great nephew, my sister started on some coins, and he's actually getting into it.
That's great.
I think
it's absolutely fine. But the thing
it's
is,
draining
is
my
it going
collection
to...
from when I was his age, but that's another story.
Is it going to last? And as David says, as we go into this cashless society and coins start being, because we are old enough to remember that we could carry stamps around in our wallets and we would put them out and we would lick them and put them on the envelope without even thinking about it.
Right.
The concept of explaining to somebody who is 20 years old now that we used to do that is singularly disgusting. I mean, we can make jokes about scratch and sniff, but you could say what you like about scratch and sniff. The things we used to do with stamps were, I mean, just unthinkable today. And coins, if you think about it, it's like you take your own handful of germs and you hand them over to somebody else who then puts it in their pocket.
Well, by the same token, then no one would ever give anyone anything.
Well, if you travel around Europe now, there is almost no physical. It's the hangover from COVID.
This is a very bad thing for the world.
It is. Everybody, you don't interact. You tap. It's terrifying.
And your antibodies go up, that die as well.
Well, that's the other thing.
You know, I don't know about you, Ray, but when I was a kid, I lived in New York City. I played in sandboxes in New York City playgrounds. Yeah. I was probably exposed to stuff that I don't even want to know.
To drink from water hoses outside.
Exactly. Right. And yeah. But you
the
know
3 second rule.
It's still in effect, by the way.
Absolutely. But, you know, we're hale and hearty now.
Yeah, well, old guys complaining. That's one of my stock and trades. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Stamps and Coins with Bob Scott and David Tripp. A couple more emails, then we'll jump back to the phones. This one's from Brian. Currency question. I have a minty fresh 1969 $100 bill with sharp corners, never folded, ever so slightly off center. Is it worth holding on to it, or is it just worth $100?
It is worth $100, unless it's absolutely as crisp as you can get today, and you can get a dealer that might pay you $105 for it. But probably the amount of time you would spend in your car going from dealer to dealer would eat up the
profit.
You'll
use up the excess.
Yeah, yeah.
Are there any special years for currency post, the silver notes, which we've seen from time to time?
The silver notes turn up? It's very few modern ones.
Really?
In all candor. And it's really just the error notes, the really odd ones, like the $11 bills, where one side is a 10 and the other side.
And we're talking, 1934, $100 bills are basically $100.
Yeah, exactly. It's the large size notes. They changed over in 1928, 29, I believe.
Yeah.
The large size notes are really where the serious collectibles are.
You know, I recall seeing I say not that long ago. It might have been 30 years ago.
Not that long ago.
Silver, certificates are just in circulation. Are they worth anything more?
No.
Can you still use them?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah. We have never, one of the things that people forget, we have never demonetized any currency in the United States. So in England, they do demonetize regularly. In Europe, they demonetize regularly.
Yeah, they picked up from the Swiss, I think, were the first.
So you can go to London. So let's say you went to England 10 years ago, and you had a £5 note that you brought home, and you go back to England, and you get in a cab, and you want to pay for it. It might be a note that's out of date, and the only way you can exchange it is take it to the Bank of England, and then they will swap one out.
Oh, you're paying me money here. That's a £10 note.
It's plastic.
It is plastic.
It's
What's
horrible.
Up with that? And it's got a hologram of some kind in there?
It's got
everything. And you can see through it. And they're in the process of making new notes. They're taking all the people, the historical people, off the notes, and they're replacing them with animals.
And who's the old dame with the tiara?
That would be the old dame.
Elizabeth.
Oh, yeah, I saw her before.
Here's
a £5 note.
Majesty.
£5 note that got...
So you can get these wet and they're fine.
You can get them wet and you can wash them well and you can launder them. We shouldn't really be able to say
laundering
that.
Money here. No. That's a different show.
But look, all different sizes.
Yeah.
Because we don't play jokes with the blind with our currency.
They do that in many countries in Europe. But again, they demonetize them. We don't. So
does that make the collectability of those better? In other words, they stay in circulation and you might have... Now, you might have a Churchill, and in 20 years, there haven't been Churchills in a long time.
As a rule, no, because the demonetized notes eventually do dwindle. Also, the reason the dollar is the most collectible currency in the world is because it's the most powerful currency in the world.
Ah, okay.
And as David said, you have never demonetized a single bill.
What about the $10,000? Weren't there some enormous bills that are used bank to banks?
There were, the $100,000 bill.
Yeah.
With Woodrow Wilson on it.
Ah.
And it was gold coin, and it was only bank to bank transactions.
Was it gold coin?
No, it was a note, but it was in gold coins.
Oh,
so it was $100,000. But those are kind of like the 1933 double eagle. They are illegal to own. The only ones are owned by the government. I've actually been in the New York Federal Reserve Bank, and they've had seen one there. And it's
impressive.
It is impressive, and it kind of...
But you,
I wouldn't mind finding that in my wallet.
We're not telling tales out of school. We've seen the block. The $110,000 bills.
$110,000.
Oh, boy. I sense you maybe talking
I've
out of
I've
school.
Gone blank, but Bob probably...
$1 million.
The fifth.
$1 million.
$1 million, just $110,000
really?
Bills together.
And
yes.
Why wouldn't you remember that, David?
I'm old. I have gray hair.
That's a good point. Well, so, I have gray hair, too. Frank is in Andover. Frank, how's your hair?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good.
Good.
I have a question about the naval commemorative coins. Now, these aren't that old, but they're from probably late 60s, early 70s. The USS Iwo Jima, I was on the USS Iwo Jima. Just after, I wasn't on when they picked up Apollo 13. That's a very famous. Mm-hmm. They made a movie about that, remember?
Yeah.
Are those worth anything, those coins?
They're not coins per se. They would probably be commemorative medals.
Right, medals, I should say.
Yeah, it just depends on... Probably not, in all candor. It just depends on how many were made and the specifics of it. Again, we're into the sphere of things that have been made within the last 40 or 50 years are generally made in substantial enough quantities that unless they're in precious metals, the value is going to be really rather small, I'm afraid.
Right. One more quick question.
Sure.
I don't know if this woman is telling me a story. This is from Wear Mass.
Okay.
She went to a bank. Oh, this is like not 7-8 months ago at the most. A bank in Athol, Mass. And she said, "Do you have any old coins?" The guy came back. Now, this is hard to believe. He sold her 60 Morgan dollars. And how long has a Morgan dollar been out of circulation? 100 years, right?
No, they actually haven't been out of circulation for 100 years. When I was a kid, I could go to the bank and give, if you gave them a silver certificate, as we were discussing, and you gave that to the bank when we still had silver currency prior to 1964, you could go to the bank.
Right.
I did it. I remember I got a 1903 silver dollar from the teller. And I looked it up in my red book, and I was, I don't know how old I was, probably 12 years old, something like that. I was really excited. It was a rare date.
That's cool.
It was really cool. And I went to my mother, and I showed it to her. It was, I think, it cataloged at like $1,000, and this is in the early 60s. And my mother said, okay, you're putting that away, and you're saving it for college.
Oh, boy.
Okay. 4 years later, the Mint found a hoard of them and released them into circulation.
Yes.
And they're still not worth $1,000.
Oh, mercy.
That's when I learned that coins as an investment can be a little bit dodgy.
So, Frank, what's the rest of the story? What did the woman get?
This woman, and the teller came back at 60, I don't know what the years were, more in dollars. And you know what he sold her for? $60.
It seems...
$60.
But if this was 6 or 7 months ago, it seems highly unlikely at best. And if not, I would have pulled out my wad of $60 and taken them. Because
you think they could be counterfeit? They wouldn't be counterfeit, right?
Not coming through a bank.
No. Oh, was that a bank?
I mean, she doesn't know me from Adam, a bank in Athol, Mass.
Ah.
Well, if it is...
$3,000 worth of silver.
Yeah, wow.
Exactly.
That guy may have gotten
for $60.
Fired.
$60.
Hey, Frank, we're running out of time here. I've got to take a break, but thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. We're joined by Bob Scott and David Tripp. We'll be back with Stamps and Coins. Vox Pop on WAMC, there's Chris Potter and Lyft, and it's Stamps and Coins today. Bob Scott, David Tripp are here. Let's do a couple of emails, and then we'll go back to the phones. Oh, Linda sent pictures. Well, we can't see them on the radio. I can show our guest here, but here it is. L100, 1956, any value? And there it is. I'll show you. David Tripp.
100 lira. That's Italian.
Yeah, that's Italian.
That's Italian. 1956? No. I'm afraid, no. It's, they're, my gosh, they had beautiful coins, though. Some of the European coins just are.
That's equivalent to a shilling, basically, isn't
it? No, 100 lira back then. It was 600. Go. Yeah, it was 600 lira.
Oh, sorry, 100 lira. It was 2,000 to the pound, I remember.
Well, when I was a kid, it was 600 lira to a dollar, and then it expanded up to 2,000 to a dollar and back down again.
Okay.
But it's a pretty coin.
It
Keep
is beautiful.
It. It really is really lovely, but that is Italian, yes.
Italian. Mary writes, "What should I do? I have two large and heavy stamp books from who knows where. I keep wanting to give them away, but then, of course, I wonder if there's something of value hiding in there, a treasure perhaps, where to take it, ideas on finding anyone who would look at this for a minimal fee." It's a familiar refrain.
It absolutely is. And the simplest thing is go through it, have a look at the dates. If it all dates after the Second World War, then shut down your inner voice and give it to somebody. If it goes back into pre-war, really seriously back into the 1800s, then start thinking of getting somebody to look. But probably the easiest thing is if they all seem to be a bright mass of color, that's a really good indication that it's later 20th century. If it's just reds, greens, browns, then there's maybe a chance you should have somebody have a look. Or find the oldest pages, and you can send them along to David, who will let me look at them.
All right, fair enough. By the way, are you keeping your tally over there?
We are definitely, stamps are in the lead.
Didn't you predict that today?
I did.
So
I did.
There's a little running tally that we usually do when David and Bob are on about how many stamp questions we'll get, how many coin questions we'll get, and so far stamps are in the lead. Here, and again, we had one about paper money. Where does that fall?
What falls in the middle, because it's...
Yes, we sort of jump.
You share
on
that
it.
One?
We share that, yes.
All right, well, we'll share this one. And I don't even know if you can share this one at all. This one's from Barbara. I'm wondering if casino tokens are of any value. Sands Hotel, 1982, Mohegan Sun, Playboy Club, Dinosaur Dave's, also Japanese and Indian paper money from World War II, German and Bolivian paper money from either World War I or II. So a lot of things there. First, the casino tokens.
Casino tokens theoretically have a face value at the casino that they're issued.
But
yes?
They stop. I think they change those as well.
They demonetize them. Exactly.
They do. But there is a book, and it is a collected medium. If you've got the right tokens from the Sands or from
the Las Vegas Club or some of these old ones on the Strip that are gone.
Of course, that's now. Of course, back in the day, of course, that's where silver dollars. That's what you.
I still remember going to Foxwoods and getting metal out of the on the slot machines, and that was
the absolute deal. But the actual chips are of note, and there are some very scarce ones that are worth an awful lot of money.
Okay.
Then, in fact, if you go back, there was an episode, that episodic, it was one of those CSI shows. They were talking about somebody that was digging in the ruins of an old casino and found a hoard of them, which, lo and behold, were worth a small fortune.
Wow, that's cool.
So, no, it exists as a separate collecting category. The cash money brought back from the war almost invariably... It's just paper.
Okay, and that's like Civil War money too, right? Except for some exceptions?
The Civil War does actually have a lot of things. The thing you always have to remember is people will destroy almost anything, but they will never destroy money, even if you tell them to their faces
and from
it
that
is worth
period,
nothing.
With Civil War money, if it's assuming it's not Confederate money.
Well, that's what I mean,
right.
Confederate money.
Confederate money, there are some early ones from Montgomery and places like that in Alabama that are very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Federal currency from that period. That was really the birth of federal currency. So 1861, 1862, those can be worth megabucks.
As well as still be worth their face value.
And as Bob was saying, and still be worth face value. Ah. Many years ago when Bob and I were at Sotheby's, we got a call. Somebody in the furniture department had opened up an old desk drawer, and in it were some stamps.
Some old stamps.
Some old stamps and a folded up banknote. And Bob pulled out the banknote. I was there. I looked at it. I said, I've seen one of those before, but I took a photocopy because I was running for the train, did some exercise over the weekend, came back. We stuck it in the auction. It brought $260,000.
Yikes. Wow.
Yeah,
so people don't throw money away.
Okay.
My biggest find.
Really?
Yeah, came out of nowhere.
The stamps weren't much?
No, we have an adage, good coins, bad stamps. Bad coins.
Okay, we talked about this before the show started. Calvin Coolidge, Michael writes from Latham, was the 1920s quarter with Coolidge a commemorative or general circulation?
Commemorative.
It was.
It was a commemorative coin, and he was one of the few people that have slipped by as a living individual on a U.S. coin, which is theoretically illegal.
But there's a loophole.
There's always a loophole when people are making it. When they wrote the law for the semi-quincentennial that we are currently in, which was probably close to 20 years ago, there was a little caveat apparently in there that would allow for a living individual to be on a coin struck this year and this year only for the semi-quincentennial. So apparently there will be the current president of the United States may appear on a dollar coin if it is produced by the end of this year. And from what I have been told from people who are legal beagles, it will be it will be legitimately legal. Yeah.
Greg in Hyde Park just asked about this.
Yeah.
He heard about the Trump coin. So will that be obviously very limited run, right? Only 1 year?
Only 1 year. I think it may have, I'd like to say I know how many are going to be made, but I'm not sure. I think it may only be 100,000 or something like that. So it'll be a pretty limited edition thing. Yeah. And there's also theoretically going to be a gold coin also struck, which will have a face. Well, I don't know what the face value is. It's going to be a made-up face value, to be honest with you.
Oh, wow. How much gold will be in there?
Probably 7 ounces, so 30 or 40 grand.
Worth.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so they're going to make up. It'll probably be worth $1,776 or something like that.
Yeah. And the bizarre thing is, for all the collectible value, all the material from the bicentennial in 1976, that's all still circulating.
Oh, yeah.
And do you know how much of it shows a premium?
None
of it.
Well, I remember the $2 bills being everywhere. Yep. Well, that was around that time.
Yeah,
right?
And they still. You can get, if you go to Monticello, they will still give, the gift shop will still give them to you as part of your change.
Nice.
Yes,
I used to love those.
Yeah.
All right, Mary writes in, and then we'll go back to the phones. Is it worth keeping pennies now that they're going out of circulation?
Use them. They. Listen, people seem to forget. They are a bit of a pain, but they're still real money.
Yeah.
No, don't put them. If they were actually 100% copper still, yeah, because then you have, again, back to scrap value. But the current stuff, no.
And when did they stop being all copper?
Oh, that's a good question.
70s.
70s, I think. I will, as you answer some other questions, I will look it up.
Why don't we do a stamp question while you're looking that up?
I'd like to add an aside to the. To the should I still keep pennies? Well,
yeah.
Why not? Because every single other household in the country is doing that.
Yeah, it's a good point. Let's go to Skye in Great
1982.
Barrington. 1982, they stopped making.
Then they went, yes, they went. They went from 95% copper to 99% zinc.
Ah, yes. Skye in Great Barrington, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the great show.
Thanks.
I had a question. It's another tick for the stamp column. I was wondering, I had heard they were going to come out with some commemorative stamps for famous black Americans and famous women, and then they got nixed by Washington in favor of some other such things. And I wondered, do you think those would ever be issued in the future?
Well, I mean, first of all, they have issued stamps. In terms of, there's certainly Black History Month stamps, and periodically there is a selection process that goes pretty much along the lines of coins. And David knows actually more about this than I do. But it goes up. I hate to keep referring back to TV, but there was a great episode of The West Wing about how they. How they put people up for stamps. And that particular one was honoring somebody from Puerto Rico that they didn't want to do because they had advertised, they had worked for Puerto Rican independence. So they said, no, can't put them on a stamp. But the truth is, it's a fairly democratic process.
It's a nominating process, and then it goes through various committees. In coins, there's something.
Yeah, I thought I had heard that they had been actually approved and were about to be printed, and then all of a sudden, they were gone.
It's usually the way the story's being told because they shortlist a great number of things at the same time. So
okay.
don't imagine it's any particular conspiracy. It's probably just didn't get picked up. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure Harriet Tubman's got a stamp.
Well, she's supposed to be on the $10.
And she's going to get it.
That may be what we're conflating here.
Yeah, she must be on the $10
bill. She's getting a bill as well.
Yep.
And
oh, that's great.
No, I mean, there's a lot of things coming around. I mean, England does the same thing. Their new plastic £50 note has Alan Turing on it, who was basically...
The code breaker
happened to be gay, so never got any recompense or recognition. And now, of course, he's gracing the largest bill that exists in the country.
He did
so.
Pretty good work, gotta
and
say.
People seem to forget.
Now,
stamps aside, but
if a person, if a person wanted to get a hold of, like, say, some Irish coins, Well, the old days when they had the harps and the horses on them, how
yes.
hard would that be to do?
It's very easy.
You could probably just sign on to eBay now and find some.
Yeah.
Okay, Sky, thanks a lot. Now, you're going to have to count that as a coin and a stamp question.
Okay.
You know?
Does that make it a scamp?
A scamp. A stoin.
Well, it's probably a scam.
Yes.
All right, let's go to Gregory in Kingston. Gregory, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi. You know, I have this book. Maybe I'll call on the book show, but just thought I'd bring it up and see if you know anything about it. It's the 1959, The Story of American Banknote Company.
Well, this again falls between the two of us.
This you is... find on, you know, they're all steel engraved pictures of the presidents and of the back of the bills and
amazing.
Stuff.
American Banknote Company actually
book.
Splits.
Yes.
Splits the hair
Explain.
Again.
So you guys know of this?
Yes.
Oh yeah, and Bob has been involved in selling stuff from the archives of the American Banknote Company.
Based in Blaufelt, New York. And
where's Blaufelt, New York?
Yeah.
Where is it?
Just outside of New York.
Huh. Just north of New Jersey.
You head up the, Palisades Parkway.
Ah, oh yeah, well, I've been
it's
on the Palisades.
Most of the way up the Palisades Parkway before you get to the Tappan Zee Bridge, and yes, I still call it the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Absolutely.
And it was the mass producer of not only American, but what we call British North America. They did the stamps, half the South American countries. They did stamps for everybody. And they did some of the greatest American stamps, all the earliest commemoratives. And, of course, they used proper engravers. And an engraver works on an engraving of a stamp just as easily as he does engraving a die for a coin or
banknotes. And Christie's sold the archives of the American Banknote Company in the
90s. It was the first job I worked on. And it actually, they handed over so much stuff that the Secret Service came back and said, sorry, but there's some of that stuff's a little too molten. You can't have that.
All right, Gregory, you want to follow up?
Your book,
right,
I mean,
has it got some value?
Your book has definitely got a little value because there's a lot of people that collect it. But I've seen it before. You'd probably, if you just look it up online, you'll probably find a copy for sale. It'll give you whatever the price is.
Yeah, if there's a very...
Okay, yeah, because I'm not planning to sell this one. I love it.
Right,
it's a beautiful book.
There are two very good collectible book sites if you want to. There's abe.com books, and just look for the... Type it in, and it'll come up.
Yeah.
There's also one called Biblio, B-I-B-I-L-I-O.
Biblio, but A books will have it.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gregory,
almost
thanks
certainly.
A lot. Now, where are we? Who's ahead?
Bob is definitely ahead.
All right, this one is from Kyle. I have one penny from 1945 and another from 44, a quarter from 42, and a dime from 44. It's not FDR on the dime. Can you say anything about these coins? Any special value? That's from Kyle.
The dime will have silver value. That's about it.
What about the quarter?
The quarter will have silver value, and that will have value.
And what is the value of a quarter in silver? $6? $10?
No,
what
10.
Is
10 about $10.
Really?
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Yeah,
no, that's not bad at all. Yeah, the penny, however, no.
Although trying to sell it might not. It might.
Well, you'll get it. It may be worth $10 on paper, but you'll get an offer probably closer to $7.
Yes.
Still, nice enough.
Yes.
Yep.
All right, now, gentlemen. Yeah, we never got to the Oak Island angle. We'll do that next time you're on.
We can do that next time.
Well, basically, the point was they find coins sometimes that are from the 1500s, and they say, well, they were here in the 1500s.
Rubbish.
Right, because you yourself had coins that are a couple hundred years old.
Exactly, and the whole thing is it's a little bit, that's why stamp, if you can find a stamp, it's probably securely dated because they don't last in the ground very long.
Very good. All right, we're out of time. If people want to get in touch with you and you're in the mood, how do they do that?
It is Coin and Stamp Guys, all spelled out, at BerkBERK.com.
David Tripp and Bob Scott, thank you gentlemen for being here today, making the trip out here in the patchy smoke.
And making it back very quickly because apparently there's a soccer game about to
enjoy. I hope your team wins. Support
Thank
comes
you,
from Capital Roots, celebrating 50 years of helping make local food and green spaces accessible to all through mobile markets, community gardens, and programs. CapitalRoots.org. Bob Scott is ready to dash. Sunnyview Rehabilitation Hospital in Schenectady, receiving rehab case referrals from hospitals across upstate New York and western New England, dedicated solely to the specialty of physical rehab, focused on getting patients back home. sunnyview.org. And J.S. Bryant School, a nonprofit therapeutic day school in Western Massachusetts, working to empower LGBTQIA plus teens to be their most authentic selves. JSBryantSchool.org. Thanks again to David Tripp and Bob Scott for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Kaylin McPherson. Aye, McPherson. Thanks to Andrea Leong, who screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, we welcome back astronomer Dr. Valerie Rapson, the heavens. We'll see you tomorrow at 2:00.